action.
Hey there, movie kings and queens, and welcome to episode 16 of the Real Game Movie Show. I'm your host, Mike Lovins, and with me, as always, is the guy that wrote the book on being 50 Shades of Gay, my co-host, Ryan Provost.
You should hear the audio version, Mike.
Oh, are you the voice?
No, Regis Philbin.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
I like it already. All right, so like we like to do, I've got a news story to tell everybody about.
Yay, news.
So, newsreel.
Newsreel.
So, the first teaser trailer for the Bumblebee standalone Transformers movie has been released. And anybody who follows us on social media has seen by now that I was really excited about this.
Yeah. I was surprised at your excitement.
Were you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's actually not surprising because most of the Transformers movies have been kind of abysmal, but this is, this one is being directed by Travis Knight, who directed Kubo and the Two Strings, which was also like one of my favorite movies of that year. So it takes place in the 80s before the events of the Michael Bay series. And this one is actually doing what they should have done in the first place and making the Transformers look like they did in the cartoons. Bumblebee's a Volkswagen Bug, and maybe it's fan service, I don't know, but it's got me excited.
Yeah, I'm not a big Transformers fan. I saw maybe half of the first movie and then just kind of lost interest.
Okay.
And I've heard, like you said, that the rest of the movies have gotten progressively worse and worse. So I really didn't get too invested. I'll say it probably came from my childhood, because in my childhood, I had maybe one or two Transformers toys, and I was not the brightest child, and so I would get them about halfway transformed and couldn't figure out how to get them all the way to where they needed to go, or how to get them back to where they originally were. It was the Rubik's Cube of my youth, and I hate them. I hate them all.
Well, see, the funnest thing to do with them is just to buy them, leave them in the box, and put them on a shelf. That's the best way to play with your Transformers.
It certainly is the safest way to not get them halfway transformed. I'd be interested to see the movie where they got stuck halfway transformed and couldn't get all the way.
That's called Transform.
Transform.
All right. So in lieu of a second news story, I saw the movie Upgrade that came out this past weekend.
Okay.
And so I thought I'd give just a quick little mini review.
Yeah, tell me what you thought.
So I was pleasantly surprised. Like, I went into this movie thinking, just from the trailers, this looks generic, it looks dumb. For one, it was a Blumhouse picture, so that should have given me a little bit of hope, because they've been hitting it out of the park lately.
Mm-hmm.
The star of the movie, Logan Marshall Green, the only thing I really knew him from was Prometheus, and he wasn't that memorable in there, but he really did a good job. The action in this movie was good. I knew it had like futuristic elements to it, but I didn't realize that it actually takes place in the future.
Okay. Like how far in the future?
I would say probably within like 50 years.
Okay.
Maybe not even that long. Cause he works on classic cars, which are like 70s muscle cars and stuff like that. But they have fully autonomous vehicles out on the roads too. And that's actually part of that weaves into the plot. Anyway, so it was, like I said, I was pleasantly surprised. It was unexpectedly very entertaining. So one of the things that I really liked about it, though, that Blumhouse does well is that, so it's kind of a low budget movie. And they don't try to pretend that they're not low budget.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So like they had good special effects, but it's like they put their special effects money where it counted.
Yeah.
And like this movie kind of has like the best things about like 70s and 80s B science sci-fi movies or kind of in this movie. So one review, you'll appreciate this one review that I'd read. Somebody said that it felt like an episode of Black Mirror.
Ooh.
So anyway, long story short, I liked it. I'm actually going to give it 3 reels.
Nice.
So people should check that out.
There you go.
All right. So Ryan, do you have anything you want to talk about this week?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Oh,
spill it. Spill the tea.
Oh my gosh. Well, we've already. Yeah. No. Yes. We've already been texting about this. I've texted other friends furiously, but so we have talked about our local drag superstar Nina West on this podcast a good bit, mm-hmm. and recommended her film series at the Gateway. Well, the most recent one that was supposed to be showing Mary Poppins got canceled at the very last minute. I got this strange email saying it was canceled. So that kind of started things for me. But then I noticed she wasn't on social media anymore. Like, she just stopped posting. And then all of a sudden I started seeing the articles. And speculation is that our own Nina West is finally going to be on RuPaul's Drag Race season 11.
How awesome would that be?
That has to be it. I'm convinced it has to be it, because the official excuse is that she is having foot surgery. Now, Mike, I have had foot surgery. Have you had foot surgery?
I have not.
Okay. I can speak from experience that my social media presence, if anything, increased post foot surgery.
Fair.
Right? Like, I get she's canceling some gigs and everything now. I get that if foot surgery is the real reason, but why are you just disappearing off social media?
Yeah. And you know, with her recently, like, leaving her day job to become Nina West full time.
Yes. You know, that's what,
yeah,
that she probably was contacted, said, "Hey, heads up, you're cast," and made some decisions from there. Now, you know what I would like to see her do if she does, if this is true, she's on Drag Race and then gets to have this post Drag Race, maybe bigger career.
Wear a Real Gay Movie Show t-shirt. On TV.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also, you know how she does her big shows at Axis? You know, she does her Halloween show, The Hills of Horror. Right. She does her big spring show. I think she should put together those shows, but then tour them. Like, just tour them around the country. Yeah. Like, take maybe not all of her cast, but, you know, make a...
Like William, or is that the name?
Willem.
Willem. Will I am?
Nope. Different.
Wrong.
Very different. Just Will am. Will am.
Okay.
Isn't it supposed to be Will is?
Will ma'am.
Will not. But yeah, so that's what I think would be really cool. But I'm just so excited at the thought of Nina finally getting on Drag Race. I mean, this is kind of, that's what's happening right now with her just disappearing off the face of the earth and all these rumors. It's kind of what happens, from what I've heard, when a drag queen ends up on Drag Race. They just kind of poof,
disappear.
They're gone. And it's always either a vacation or an injury. I'm doing the classic Mike quote fingers where no one can see me. But yeah, it's always, and Nina West has even talked about that on her own podcast about this time of year when people are speculating about who's on Drag Race because they just disappear off the face of the earth. And now she's doing it, and I hope that's why.
I really do too. Season 11, right?
Yes, it'll and be season been... 10 is kind of mid towards the end of its run on TV right now. And VH1, which airs Drag Race, has for the past 2 years aired a season of Drag Race All Stars, where they get previous season mm-hmm. contestants and a season of new contestants. So it would make sense with the timing, if they truly need to film 2 seasons and edit them and everything, to go ahead and start around about now. And then, because they will start probably, if the past is an indication of the future, they'll start airing them in probably early 2019.
Gotcha. All right. Well, let's. Fingers crossed. That's what's going on. And if that is, good luck, Nina.
I know. Good luck.
So we saw Book Club.
Book Club.
We neither of us were too excited about the movies that had come out this past weekend, even though I went and saw Upgrade anyway. But we've just been getting hit with like the big summer blockbuster,
and it's Avengers, and then Deadpool 2 and Solo, just back to back to back.
Yeah, so we're like, let's kind of take it easy for a week and see something just a little lighter fare.
Yeah, and we were both we were scrolling through what we could see from the new ones, and we just weren't feeling it, and we both said, hey, I kind of want to see Book Club.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's see Book Club.
So we saw Book Club. For anybody who doesn't know what Book Club is, it's about four lifelong friends that have their lives forever changed after reading 50 Shades of Grey in their monthly book club.
Book Club.
The guy who directed this movie, Bill Holderman, apparently he's a first-time director, but he's done a lot of writing and producing for TV.
Okay.
And I liked this movie a lot.
Yeah.
But it does kind of have that TV feel to it.
Absolutely. It kind of felt, and I think maybe Jane Fonda's presence made it feel a little this way. It kind of felt like an elongated episode of Grace and Frankie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But that's not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
And for the target audience, I think of this movie, that's absolutely fine too.
Yeah. I saw, stats that, so 80% of the audience for this movie has been female and 85% have been above the age of 35, neither of which apply to me. One applies to you.
Yeah. I fall into one of those categories.
Female.
I was going to let them guess for themselves. you mentioned Jane Fonda, but this movie had a fantastic cast.
Yeah, it was really great.
With Diane Keaton, who I love her.
Yeah.
I love her. And Jane Fonda, Mary Steenburgen, who she's been around a bit, but Candace Bergen, who I really only know her from Murphy Brown.
Yeah, she does. She does a lot of voice work now. Like she does voice work on Family Guy.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. She does. I think she does a lot of animated voice work now. But yeah. It's been a while since she's been. I feel like I've seen her in anything big like this.
Well, so what's interesting is they're bringing Murphy Brown back to TV.
Well, someone's got to replace Roseanne, right?
Yeah, I guess right. And I haven't dug into this, but
Candace, watch your tweets, girl.
Right.
When you take that Ambien, go ahead and turn off your phone.
Just go to sleep.
Just go to sleep, girl. Sleep.
But I haven't done any digging into this, but I wonder if we'd find out that this guy who directed this movie has anything to do with the Murphy Brown
reboot.
Reboot.
Do you say reboob? That's what I heard.
But then, so Andy Garcia, Craig T. Nelson, Don Johnson. I mean, this is Richard Dreyfuss. And then the person that you were like, oh, that was her, Alicia Silverstone.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize that was her until I was flipping through Wikipedia, taking some notes before we started filming the episode.
Holy shit, that was Batgirl.
Call me clueless. I did one.
You've been hanging around me too long.
Way too long.
So, you know, so like we said in the beginning, so these ladies are reading, you know, in their book club, they're reading 50 Shades of Grey. And I was a little afraid that like that was going to be more of the plot line than what ended up actually happening in this movie, and I'm glad that we weren't just like inundated with them just reading and quoting the book and stuff. I mean, I didn't think that was going to be the plot, but
it was more of what just sparked the storyline and got things going. And then it sometimes grounded it or brought it back a little bit, but it was not like I've never read or read the books or seen the movies. And I had no trouble following along. Cause I understand the cultural significance of 50 Shades, but I have no real knowledge of anything from the stories.
I like though, how, when Diane Keaton was on the plane and she was asked, what are you reading? She's like, Moby Dick. Like, she was embarrassed to say she was reading 50 Shades of Grey, but Moby Dick.
Yeah. Call me Ahab.
Mm-hmm. So something that I've kind of heard some comparisons to, and I want to see what you think about this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like they were kind of going for like a modern Golden Girls?
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's in my notes. Yes. This is about as close to a Golden Girls reboot as I think we're going to get.
Yeah. So I was sitting there thinking about it. And I was like, okay, so who would be who? Like, I kind of feel like Candace Bergen is probably like Dorothy. I kind of see her as the Dorothy part. And Jane Fonda was definitely Blanche.
Obviously.
But I'm not sure who the other two would be. Like, if you had to pigeonhole those two, I would almost say
Mary Steenburgen was definitely the feistier one. So I think she would be the mom.
Sophia.
Yeah.
Okay. And then and that leaves
Diane Keaton to Diane be Keaton. Rose, but she didn't really have any Rose quality. I think that Jane Fonda was definitely a Blanche. And Candace Bergen was definitely a Dorothy. I don't know if the other two.
Yeah, the other two are kind of their own entities.
And then just substitute cheesecake with all the wine in the entire world.
Right? I even heard somebody during one of the scenes in the seat like behind me going, they're on bottle three?
I know. And it... But if that was supposed to be some sort of like subliminal advertising for the wine industry, it worked. I left and immediately went to the store and bought some and went home and drank it.
Oh, that's funny.
Although I'm classy, so I got me a box. I got me a big old box.
You know, I walked out of that movie just kind of thinking, you know, you go, girls. It was kind of fun to see these like mature women like embracing their sexuality and you know, just proving that, or you know, just being like, just because we're over 60 doesn't mean we don't like to still get it on. And you know, I'm hoping that when I'm over 60, I still like to get it on.
Yeah, I don't know about all that. Maybe. I mean, but I thought it was so fun. And I think it really helped. I was going to ask you about the audience in your screening. Mine, so I went to Lenox and it was in one of the smaller, you know, side theaters.
Yeah.
I did not see it in IMAX 3D. and my theater was actually, I was kind of surprised at how packed it was. Granted, it was kind of like prime time on a Friday night, which is, I rarely go to movies then. But there were a lot of people, and it, predominantly women, a lot of middle-aged, like upper middle-aged women, and they were loving it. They were living for this movie, and I think it made it even more fun to see it with, I mean, it was very much the intended audience.
So I went with my mom.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was nice to hang out with my mom and go see a movie, but it was a little slightly uncomfortable hearing her laugh so hard at some of the more suggestive things in the movie.
Stop it, Mike.
You know, but you know what was even worse? Hearing her try and tell me that the plot to the 50 Shades movies was really good. She kept asking me, have you seen the 50 Shades movies? I'm like, no, Mom, no. I haven't read the books yet, but I love the movies. Got it. Okay. But yeah, it was the theater I was in was certainly a 50 plus white women group.
Yeah. But I mean,
and it was a Sunday afternoon too. So,
but what's great about this is we already kind of talked about this, but I love that there's some alternative programming in the middle of this crazy summer blockbuster season, you know, something that caters to a different audience who either like us is maybe needs a little break, a little time out from those movies. But also, people who maybe have no interest in seeing the Deadpools or the Star Wars or the Avengers of the world.
Do you think at all that the fact that we are gay men enhanced to the
enjoyment
of this movie?
Mike, absolutely.
Like, I can't imagine a straight man sitting in that
movie. Let's just say the real straight movie show isn't reviewing Book Club, Mike. I'm just telling you that right now.
Yeah, I'm sure you're absolutely right about that. We need to talk to them about their name.
Yeah, I'll talk to the real straight movie bros about
the real
that.
Straight movie bros. That was my podcast 10 years ago.
What? Oh, God. It got canceled.
It got canceled. As soon as the ratings came out.
Not touching that one.
Okay. So you mentioned that one of the guys in the movie was Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
And my mom leans over to me and she goes, "He has not aged well." And I was looking at him. I was like, you know, he's cute in like a, "Aw, isn't that old guy cute" kind of way.
Yeah. Then he banged Candace Bergen in a car.
That was hilarious.
I think that may have been one of the biggest laughs in the theater. That was outstanding.
Like he's trying
to be the polite gentleman.
Right.
And then she just lunges.
Right. And like, well, like getting out of the car, like he's like got her Spanx or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's so funny. That was a good bit.
That was a good bit. And it was funny then how her next date was I can never remember the guy's name, but the guy from Princess Bride. Inconceivable.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
It was fun watching her kind of do the bumble thing.
Yeah. I love the seeing her on the social media. I loved the scenes where because she plays a federal judge.
Right.
And the scenes where they're in her office and she keeps getting notifications and messages and she's trying to keep up her professionalism, but keeps getting those bumbles going.
So it was kind of interesting how, like, of the four women, only one of them was still married and she was the one getting the least action.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably...
Well, no, Candace Bergen was not getting any either.
Well, that's true, but she did get it before Mary Steenburgen ended up.
Okay, sure. By the way, taking it back to Candace Bergen for a second,
mm-hmm.
The cat, Ginsburg.
Oh, my God.
What a great name.
I loved that. I loved that. As soon as she said that, I was like, oh, my God. And I knew my mom didn't get that because I tried to explain to her who RBG was.
I love that concept, except now she gets a second cat. Sotomayor just doesn't roll off the tongue as well as Ginsburg does, as much as I love Sotomayor.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the cat. The cat was great.
Yeah, the cat was great. Well, okay, so we were just talking about Mary Steenburgen's character. How about that Viagra scene?
Oh my God. That scene was awkward to me because he was so offended that she slipped him Viagra. I feel like that would turn me on so much.
Yeah, well, just like, dude, you've got this woman who wants you so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, if I didn't already have something else, I would have said that maybe my gayest take was the fact that maybe he's gay.
Yeah, because she's looking good.
Yeah, they all did.
Yeah. I feel like if someone slipped me the Viagra, I would just be, let's do this.
Right. I don't care
are. He was so angry.
Yeah.
Not even like, you tried something fun. I get it. That wasn't cool, though. He was legit, like, slept on the couch pissed.
Yeah, that, not my shadiest take, but I did kind of feel like he was a little overreactive to that situation.
Yeah, I agree. It's not my shadiest take either, but yeah, like he was so angry, and it just didn't
just like they were trying to get some kind of conflict.
Yeah, it felt a little more forced.
Yeah.
Than it needed to. But when he comes around at the end and they have the dance scene,
that was adorable.
I was very happy about that. Yeah. So it paid off in the end.
It did. It was just a little too much. They could have gotten that same
tension.
Yeah.
Without it being so blatantly like,
I'm going to sleep on the couch because you wanted to have sex with me.
It almost made it feel like they were headed toward divorce.
Yeah, it really did.
Which maybe they did want to give that perception that maybe that's where it was headed. But I do feel like it went a little further than it needed to.
Yeah.
But again, the payoff was adorable. Yeah. So I can't be that mad at it.
So there was a scene where Mary Steenburgen was trying to seduce Craig T. Nelson in the garage.
Yeah.
I thought that whole scene was kind of funny, but you could tell like he was starting to get pissed off there too. It was like,
yeah.
But I was kind of thinking about how, like, given the fact that they were reading 50 Shades of Grey, I almost expected like either Mary Steenburgen or Jane Fonda to have some scene where they were like in some kind of like leather bustier or trying to do some kind of like bondage.
Yeah. Especially Mary Steenburgen. She seemed the most intrigued by the concept.
Yeah. Well, but Jane Fonda just had that like sexual.
Yeah.
Kind of prowess to her.
Yeah.
I could have seen one of those two characters trying to do some kind of reenact a scene from the book.
Yeah. That would have been funny.
Yeah.
I feel like that may have felt a little more slapstick, don't you think, than what this movie was going for?
Maybe. I mean, it all just depends on how they handled it.
Yeah.
Would have handled it, but.
But speaking of Jane Fonda, her storyline of the four women's, I was a little disappointed. I thought it was a little blah.
Okay.
Like, of the four.
Yeah.
It was definitely the one that was the least interesting and maybe even the one we spent the least amount of time with.
Well, maybe that was for the best then. I think I'd agree with you there, even though she is one of my favorite of the actresses that were in the movie.
Right.
She kind of had it all going on for her anyway, regardless of whether or not, Don Johnson's character came into her life or not. Like, she owned a hotel. She was rich. She was seeing men, and you know, it's like, so her storyline, yeah, wasn't as intriguing.
Yeah.
Or as funny.
No, not at all. It wasn't very entertaining.
Yeah.
To me, which is funny because as I was thinking about the four women, I feel like she would probably be the one I would relate the most to. You know, like, I not really holding down serious relationships, that kind of thing. Like, that's been my deal for better or for worse. That's another show.
Okay.
but I was
real
like
gay therapy show.
I was like, I really kind of in some ways relate to this character because of the lack of commitment that she has in serious relationships, but why am I so not connecting to her as much as I feel the other ones? Maybe that's why it disappointed me a little bit, that storyline.
To one of your earlier points, watching her through this movie, I just kept seeing Grace.
Mm. Well, do you think it's that you're seeing Grace, or do you think you're just seeing Jane Fonda? Like, she is such a big presence.
Maybe.
That no matter the role she plays, she brings so much of that Jane Fonda-ness to it, which is great.
That could be.
That it's hard to differentiate at times.
Maybe, but I kind of feel that way sometimes with Diane Keaton, but I love Diane Keaton, but she kind of has a certain, I don't know if charisma is the right word, but a way that she acts, and a lot of her characters kind of have the same projection and mannerisms and stuff like that. But I still felt like I saw her character.
Yeah. Yeah. But Jane Fonda she's just such a, whereas Diane Keaton's is a little more reserved.
Okay.
Jane Fonda is so, I mean, she's just so powerful. She has such a presence that I think it's hard to take that out of any performance that she does. But I just didn't love her story as much in this one.
Yeah. Which just goes to say how good the other characters in.
Yeah, the other stories were far more intriguing. Not that Jane Fonda's was terrible, it just was not as great.
So they kind of show, like, through some very photoshopped photos.
Oh my gosh. Those, oh, Mike, yes. Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
That was those were so bad. I mean, it
painfully obvious.
It did its job for the movie, but that is not where the budget went.
No.
No.
It almost read as if they, at the last minute, thought, the beginning of this movie is just not coming together the way we need it to. How can we do this?
Right. Photo montage.
Wait, the movie's coming out tomorrow? Shit. We got to get this together. Hurry. What's Phil doing? Get him. Get him on this.
We don't have Photoshop. Do you have something else that's cheaper? You know, but through that, though, it really shows that they've been kind of a group for a long time. And it just had me thinking, man, you know, I'm in my 40s now, so I'm about 20 years away from where they are.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that, my core group of friends that I've been friends with for so long are still that close when we get that to that age.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have I have a core group who live down south who I think they're going to be those people for me.
Yeah.
And I can't wait. It made me very much look forward to those adventures we have when we are all old and still very horny
and don't care.
Oh, I fully don't care already, Mike. We are at that point. That is not something I need to look forward to. I look forward to it every day.
Every single day.
So, Mike, you know I love talking Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah.
What do you think? Let's play guess the Rotten Tomatoes score for this one.
I had a feeling you were going to ask, so I purposely did not look at it.
Okay, good. Yeah, never look, because I always want to ask.
I can't imagine that, even though like it was good, I can't imagine it was super high. I'm going to go 68%.
Oh no, it was not fresh. It was rotten. It was, but close. It was 53%.
Wow.
So, but I got to say one thing I've appreciated this year, again, I think I even brought it up maybe in the Life of the Party, show, but We've had Life of the Party, female-driven comedy. Mm-hmm. We've had Book Club, female-driven comedy. We've had I Feel Pretty. I really am just loving. It feels like almost all the big comedies this year are so far female-driven. And next week we'll be talking about a female-driven comedy heist film.
Right.
In Ocean's 8. And I'm loving it. It's been, and they've all been of at least a decent quality. None of them have been terrible.
No. And yeah, so a Rotten Tomatoes score of 58. Is that what you said? 58? 53. I'm sorry. Even lower. I don't think that that's fair for this movie.
Yeah, I think it's better, but I have some things I don't care for with this movie. It does feel a little made for TV movie.
Yeah.
But elevated. Like, if you had a less talented cast in this movie, it would feel be a bad movie.
Yeah.
It would feel bad, Mike.
Yeah, that's fair.
If the cast of this movie easily elevates it like an entire reel for me, probably, from what I would give it had it not had such a great cast who I loved and adored. Some of the characters and storylines are a little cheesy, a little overly cheesy. You know, I could see how enough of the reviews could be maybe not trashing the movie, but it's a little too formulaic, a little too by the numbers,
okay,
a little too corny, that it could get a lower score. Cause I enjoyed the experience. I think it's great to have a movie like this in the middle of the summer. Is it going to be in my top 10 list at the end of the year? Absolutely not. nor yours.
Right.
But I'm glad I got to see this movie.
Yeah.
It's one of the reasons I love getting to do this podcast is because this is a movie I may not have gone to see had it not been for the podcast.
I think between the podcast and MoviePass, yeah. I've seen more movies that I normally wouldn't have
exactly.
taken the time to go see.
And if you're one of those folks who has no interest in any of these big summer blockbusters, or you're just like us and a little, you know, want a little break from them, Book Club is a great movie to go see. And definitely when it comes out, Netflix,
for sure,
Redbox, yeah. that kind of stuff on demand. Oh, definitely worth a watch. Get yourself almost maybe even better. Get yourself a box of wine and some cheesecake and a couple of your best friends and watch it.
Yeah.
It would be a lot of fun for sure.
So not certified fresh, but certainly refreshing.
Absolutely. Oh, I hope they all just drank wine this entire shoot too.
Yeah. I hope that was real.
I feel like, Mike, every freaking scene, I feel like at least one of them was having a drink.
Even when they were alone.
Exactly. Even when Candace Bergen is right. sitting alone in her dark office
doing bumbling. She's got that glass of wine.
Yeah, yeah. I loved it. I thought it was so great. It made me very happy.
All right. So what do you say we go ahead and get to our takes now?
Let's take it away, Mike.
Take it away. What is your gayest take?
Mike, I would love, after seeing this movie, to see, you know, they're doing the Ocean's 8 remaking Ocean's 11 with female characters instead of male.
Right.
I want to see the old gay male version of Book Club.
That would be hilarious.
Wouldn't it, though? And who, that's, I want to have a little discussion.
Okay.
Casting wise, who do we get to be? Now granted, it's a gay old version, so it's all men in their 30s because that is ancient in the gay world,
right? 32 and up,
right? daddies
yeah. All right, so do they have to be gay actors, or can it just be older actors playing the gay part?
Either or.
Okay. Because I would love to see both Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And Victor Garber. If only Robin Williams was still alive, he would be great.
Yeah, but I tell you, I would love to see just like a queenie black man on in there too.
Yeah.
So
maybe Eddie Murphy.
Oh, he would do a good...
He would be great.
Good queen.
Nathan Lane.
Would be...
Harvey Fierstein.
Oh.
There's so much potential, Mike.
I was getting on Bumble. I was calling my mother.
I did not know you did such a great Fierstein.
Somebody was telling me about Growler, but instead I was on Tumblr.
Tumblr. Oh, my stars. That was such a treat. I will cherish that forever. I want so badly to die before you so that you can give the eulogy at my funeral as Harvey Fierstein.
Ryan was such a great guy. Let me tell you.
I'm dying.
Are you his mother?
I'm dying. Oh, God. Yes. Okay. That was great. That was my case take. What was yours?
Mine was, the whole time I was watching that movie, I kept looking at Andy Garcia and thinking, man, he is still such a handsome guy.
Yeah.
And his character was charming and rich. Hello, sugar daddy.
So he had all the charm.
Yeah, right?
Borderline creepy?
Maybe.
A little. He got close to the... When he made the joke about her very recently deceased husband... dying in a plane crash.
Is it terrible that I thought that was hilarious?
No, it was terrible that she thought that was hilarious. Like, he died. That was, yeah, that it's not my shadiest take. It was borderline my shadiest take, though, that, like, she got over him very quickly.
Well, she did make the comment, though, that they had fallen out of love quite some time before he had passed away.
Did she?
She did.
Oh, okay. I guess I missed that. But
yeah.
Yeah, that was...
So I'm glad that wasn't your shadiest take.
No, it wasn't.
Then I would have shot it down.
Oh, okay.
So speaking of then, Andy Garcia and his character, one of the things that I loved about this movie was actually the locations.
Oh, so beautiful.
Like Arizona and California are like two of my favorite places on the entire planet. I love Arizona, and I've been to Sedona and Scottsdale. Those places just are amazing.
Yeah. It made me want to go.
Yeah.
I haven't been.
I can't wait to get back.
Yeah.
But I love Arizona. But anyway, so what is your shadiest take?
So my shadiest take has to do with our friend Alicia Silverstone.
Okay.
And the other girl who played one of Diane Keaton's daughters. Am I stealing yours?
I think we might have a tie.
Just how poorly developed those characters were and how over the top they were in acting like their Diane Keaton was just so frail and
yeah.
Well, yeah, it just, is that yours too?
So mine is actually how long it took Diane Keaton's character to tell her daughters to shut the fuck up.
Well, I don't, it was so unbelievable how,
yeah,
how awful they were.
Mom, a woman your age.
And because they were written to be kind of like with Craig T. Nelson's character, because they were written to be so terrible,
uh-huh,
when they flipped after Diane Keaton's speech to them.
Right.
It was like, really? Now all of a sudden, like, you're letting your frail old mom go explore the world with this pilot. Like, it just was so unbelievable. I feel like, except for the main four characters and a couple of their lovers.
Yeah.
I thought that a lot of the other secondary characters were a little underwritten, not as strong. Like for instance, the girlfriend of Candace Bergen's ex-husband.
Yeah.
The young one.
Yeah.
She was flat to me.
Yeah.
Had a couple like kind of funny chuckly moments, but just nothing about the two of them together made any sense.
Well, and, yeah. And that was just another typical trope of,
right, that's the thing. Yeah, they relied on a lot of tropes.
Yeah,
a lot of tropes.
Yeah, so
that's my shade.
Yeah, and pretty much mine too.
Yeah.
Just yeah, those girls. So all right, so who slayed then?
I'll be honest, so my slay and my no ma'am are kind of the opposite of what I would have expected.
Okay,
so my slay was Mary Steenburgen. I loved her character. She was so fun, so interesting, really funny, had some great physical comedy. Her presence, I just like her presence. She's so glowing and beautiful and
yeah,
smart. And
I've always loved her too.
Oh, she's so great.
And you know what too? I think of the four characters, she's the only one that I feel like actually knew exactly what she wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. Every time she was on screen, I was fully invested.
Yeah.
I'd say Candace Bergen was kind of my runner up in that respect. Like Candace Bergen, her stories were really funny. Diane Keaton's would be third for me. And then Jane Fonda's fourth. But every time it was Mary Steenburgen, I loved it. I thought it was great. I loved her character. I loved where they took the story. Like we mentioned earlier, Craig T. Nelson's character not written the best in my opinion, but Mary Steenburgen was great. I think she stole the movie.
Which the Craig T. Nelson thing too is a little unfortunate too, just in the fact that he's a good actor.
Oh, he's great. I love Craig T. Nelson as an actor.
Yeah, so
we're about to get him in The Incredibles.
I know, right? Oh, and that was one of the things I was thinking about too, just like, you know, with animation, it doesn't matter how old somebody gets. They can still be young in the movie.
Well, he still has that great, rugged voice.
Right. That gruff. But it's funny to think that, you know, in this movie, he's like, can't get it up. He needs Viagra. And then he's going to be Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
So for me, actually, it was Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
for one, I just, like I said earlier, I love her. I've loved a lot of the things that she's been in. But also I think in a way, I don't know if it was just because, you know, even though her daughters were kind of bitchy, I kind of related a little bit to her character, like the two kids and the fact that she's the one then that got to, you know, go off to Arizona, which, you know, there again, like I said, I love that place. So there was just a lot of things that involved with her character that I just
spoke to you.
That just spoke to me. Yeah. Yeah. Because I thought they, you know, acting wise, I thought they all did a really good job, but yeah, her character just, resonated more with me.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So let's hear your surprise. No, ma'am.
So my no ma'am was Jane Fonda.
Really?
I wanted to stick with the four women. Like I said, I didn't think any of the supporting cast really were great necessarily. Maybe Andy Garcia. Andy Garcia was good.
Yeah.
The rest were meh. But I thought I'd stick with my takes being, or my slay and my no man being with the four. And like I said, Jane Fonda, I almost wish instead of her getting just another love story, that she had a little more, like, she was supposed to be this promiscuous woman. I take out the stuff about having this guy she was with a long time ago and just let her be this fun, promiscuous woman who has fun with that and then maybe finds love along the way doing it. But I don't think we got enough of that interesting part of this character that, I thought they just said, oh, you don't commit, you don't find love, but then immediately give her someone to commit to and find love with. You know,
kind of convenient.
Yeah. But it just made for her character to not have, I know it was supposed to be a lot of emotional growth and everything for her to realize that she should have been with this guy the whole time, whatever. But I don't know. I wanted to have more fun with her character and it just wasn't as fun as the others were. The other three had a lot more fun to them. And I don't think it's because Jane Fonda was a poor choice or not good in the role. I think it's because she wasn't given a lot to work with.
Yeah, that's fair. Especially if you're going to go with the four main, I would probably pick Jane Fonda also.
Yeah.
But I actually went with Ed Begley Jr. if for no other reason, you know, he himself is fine. I don't know, the dye job on his hair, it was so irritating that they gave him the young blonde, you know, new fiance. I don't know. It was just the character itself kind of bothered me.
See, I'm an Arrested Development fan. Every time I see Ed Begley Jr., I think of Stan Sitwell, who is this character on Arrested Development.
Okay.
And yeah, that takes me out of it every time I see him on screen now, though, because he acts the exact same way.
Yeah. I like Ed Begley Jr. Ed Begley Jr. Ed Begley Jr.
The bagel.
In general, but... yeah, I don't know. This character was just kind of...
Yeah, so, I agree.
All right, well, let's rate this bitch.
Rate it, Mike. You give yours.
Okay. I gave it three reels.
Three reels. A solid three.
A solid three. I had such a good time with it between the crowd's reactions, my mom's reaction, and just seeing these ladies on the screen. I liked it enough to say, get it,
girl. Well, I gave it, I went a little lower, which is typical. I gave it 2.5.
Okay.
Just because I looked at the movies that I've given threes to, 2.5s. It definitely needs work. It has some, I mean, it's, if we're being honest with ourselves, it is very Lifetime movie feel, but with such great acting that it kind of lifts it and elevates it. So, definitely needs work. Supporting characters definitely should have been better developed. But I had such a good time. And like I always say with the two real films, if if it needs work and it was a train wreck, closer to a train wreck, it gets a 2. If it needs work and I had a good time, it gets 2.5. So it's 2.5 reels for me.
I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course you can't. It's my opinion. I get to have it. Of course you can't argue with that, Mike.
Just wait. One of these days, I am going to argue with you.
You son of a bitch.
How dare you?
How dare you?
All right. So you know what time it is. It's time for weekly recommendations.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite time of the week.
So what do you have for us then?
So I have something really exciting. It's only for our local audience and only for people who happen to listen to this episode almost immediately after it is released. But this Thursday, June 7th, I will be performing in my friend Rory's Bosco's Bonanza comedy show.
Nice.
At Bosco's here in Columbus, Ohio. He does the show every couple months. And this month we're doing a Pride edition. So lots of fun queer comedians. It's going to be a blast. It starts at 8 p.m. And there's going to be a raffle to benefit the Kaleidoscope Youth Center.
Oh, that's good.
So, So it'll be a lot of fun. Very funny lineup. Lots of great people, some of which I hope we get on the show sometime to do Fierce Five. Wonder Doug will be there from our Fierce Five.
Nice.
And actually some of his merch is being raffled off.
By the way, happy birthday, Wonder Doug.
Happy birthday, Wonder Doug. Yeah, his birthday is
today, as we're recording this.
As we're recording in the past. It's belated if you're listening to the show. But yeah, today, Tuesday. But yeah, so it'll be a lot of fun. Bosco's Bonanza Pride Edition this Thursday at Bosco's, 8 p.m. Really solid lineup, plus me. So it'll be just a treat, such a delight. The show is free, but like I said, we'll be raffling off some
men.
I mean, I was going to offer myself up, but I feel like
you're free.
They're going to be asking for money at that point. I'm enough of a charity case. So that'll be benefiting Kaleidoscope Youth Center, which is a really great organization here in Columbus that does awesome work with LGBTQ youth to support them and give them a safe space. And I'm really excited. It's going to be an awesome, awesome show. So if you can make it out, please, please, please come out.
Great. Please go support Ryan and
a great way to kick off your Pride season, if you haven't done so already.
All right. Well, mine is it's local also. So we're getting a double dose here of some local stuff. But as you know, I'm a musician, and this past weekend I went to the musical round on Bethel Road, and they had a rainbow flag sign hanging in their window, and it said, "Musical Round Columbus promotes inclusiveness for customers of all races, religions, gender identities, sexual orientations, etc. Please be respectful to all staff members and fellow shoppers." So I thought that was just something really cool.
Yeah, thank you, Music Go Round, for creating an inclusive and welcoming space for everybody except haters.
Correct.
Haters not welcome.
Yeah, well, and so I pulled that picture from their Facebook page.
Yeah.
And there were some unfortunate comments in there, too.
You know, there always are. And you know what? People can comment all they want from their little Facebook, whatever,
right,
comment section. It
trolls.
If that's the best they can do, if that and not baking me a fucking cake is the best they can do, then you know what? I feel like we got it pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think that's going to do it for this week.
Yeah. Let's wrap up this little book club.
All right. So,
final chapter. There is no post-credit scene.
There is no post-credit scene. There is no glossary. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @RealGay and Instagram @RealGayMovieShow. Like our page on Facebook. Wherever you're listening, iTunes, Stitcher, Google, YouTube, all that stuff, subscribe, give us some feedback.
Y'all ain't been giving us enough feedback.
I know.
We want feedback. Mike is out there fishing for it. He is using the best bait, and none of you bitches is biting. Give us some feedback. Leave a comment. It's not that hard. It's not that goddamn hard.
Right. Or ask us a question, like whatever you want to ask.
Questions, you know, questions. Just questions. Just ask a question. Just ask a question.
Just ask a goddamn
just
question.
Ask a goddamn question.
All right. Well, so yeah, you can email us at realgaymovieshow@gmail.com and all that good stuff. So that's it for this week.
Bada boom.
Have a real gay day.
Do it, people.